You have 1 minute to read the sentences.
Once again, the organisation which promotes Australia, Tourism Australia, is advertising the best job in the world. But this year, they have 6 jobs going, all for 6 months, with a great salary and extra spending money. The job of Outback Adventurer is for someone with a passion for outdoor life, and in the Northern Territory, there are plenty of wide open spaces. The job is for someone to find out the best adventures and jobs for young people on working holidays. You'd be getting close to wildlife, sleeping under the stars in a bush camp, and flying over stunningly beautiful landscape in a hot air balloon. Your duties will include getting to know about Aboriginal culture and eating traditional bush foods, maybe including the famous witchetty grubs, insect larvae. Like the idea of 200 days of sunshine every year? Job number 2 is a park ranger in tropical Queensland. It's a wonderful state with ancient rainforests, the world's largest sand island, and the awesome Great Barrier Reef. Here, your duties would include protecting and promoting native plants and animals, spectacular waterfalls, dinosaur fossils, untouched beaches, and indigenous culture. You'd get paid to patrol the beaches of Lizard Island and live a life most people can only dream about. Another island job is as wildlife caretaker on Kangaroo Island in South Australia. If you love all kinds of animals, this is the job for you. The advert says you'll be able to talk to wallabies, a kind of small kangaroo, play with dolphins, cuddle koalas, and sunbathe with seals on the unspoilt beach at Seal Bay. You would get about the island on foot, by bicycle, kayak or boat, taking photos and leaving only footprints. There is one potential drawback, though. You'd need to be pretty brave since you might come face to face with great white sharks. Maybe you are not quite so keen on the great outdoors and your talents are more journalistic. If you fancy feature writing, photography and making videos, you can apply for the position of lifestyle photojournalist for Time Out in Melbourne. You would be required to photograph and write about the city's coolest cafes and musical events. But you'd also cover tourist activities in the whole state of Victoria, including surfing on the Great Ocean Road, skiing at Mount Hotham, or watching the little penguins at Phillip Island. Are you a foodie? Do you know about food as well as love eating it? If the answer's yes, you can apply for the role of Taste Master in Western Australia. Your job will be to promote the best restaurants, pubs, wineries and breweries. You'd also catch fresh seafood off the beautiful coast and learn all about making wine and beer. Finally, a fantastic job in Sydney. We've all seen those amazing firework displays in Sydney Harbour. Well, you could be one of the people making that happen next year. New South Wales is looking for a chief funster who would be based in Sydney while travelling around the state and tweeting about the coolest things going on. This job would appeal to someone interested in everything. Sports, the arts, entertainment, food. You'd also be involved in making the Sydney Festival, Mardi Gras and Vivid Festival as spectacular and as fun as possible.
Escuelas oficiales de...
Once again, the organisation which promotes Australia, Tourism Australia, is advertising the best job in the world. But this year, they have 6 jobs going, all for 6 months, with a great salary and extra spending money. The job of Outback Adventurer is for someone with a passion for outdoor life. And in the Northern Territory, there are plenty of wide open spaces. The job is for someone to find out the best adventures and jobs for young people on working holidays. You'd be getting close to wildlife, sleeping under the stars in a bush camp, and flying over stunningly beautiful landscape in a hot air balloon. Your duties will include getting to know about Aboriginal culture and eating traditional bush foods, maybe including the famous witchetty grubs, insect larvae. Like the idea of 200 days of sunshine every year? Job number 2 is a park ranger in tropical Queensland. It's a wonderful state with ancient rainforests, the world's largest sand island, and the awesome Great Barrier Reef. Here, your duties would include protecting and promoting native plants and animals, spectacular waterfalls, dinosaur fossils, untouched beaches, and indigenous culture. You'd get paid to patrol the beaches of Lizard Island and live a life most people can only dream about. Another island job is as wildlife caretaker on Kangaroo Island in South Australia. If you love all kinds of animals, this is the job for you. The advert says you'll be able to talk to wallabies, a kind of small kangaroo, play with dolphins, cuddle koalas, and sunbathe with seals on the unspoilt beach at Seal Bay. You would get about the island on foot, by bicycle, kayak or boat, taking photos and leaving only footprints. There is one potential drawback, though. You'd need to be pretty brave since you might come face to face with great white sharks. Maybe you are not quite so keen on the great outdoors and your talents are more journalistic. If you fancy feature writing, photography and making videos, you can apply for the position of lifestyle photojournalist for Time Out in Melbourne. You would be required to photograph and write about the city's coolest cafes and musical events. But you'd also cover tourist activities in the whole state of Victoria, including surfing on the Great Ocean Road, skiing at Mount Hotham, or watching the little penguins at Phillip Island. Are you a foodie? Do you know about food as well as love eating it? If the answer's yes, you can apply for the role of Taste Master in Western Australia. Your job will be to promote the best restaurants, pubs, wineries and breweries. You'd also catch fresh seafood off the beautiful coast and learn all about making wine and beer. Finally, a fantastic job in Sydney. We've all seen those amazing firework displays in Sydney Harbour. Well, you could be one of the people making that happen next year. New South Wales is looking for a chief funster who would be based in Sydney while travelling around the state and tweeting about the coolest things going on. This job would appeal to someone interested in everything. Sports, the arts, entertainment, food. You'd also be involved in making the Sydney Festival, Mardi Gras and Vivid Festival as spectacular and as fun as possible.
This is the end of task 1. Now turn to task 2. Task 2. Listen to this conversation about traveling and choose the correct answer A, B, or C for each question. Only one answer is correct in each question. Number 0 is an example. Copy your answers in the answer sheet. Now you have 1 minute to read the questions.
So Dan, we're talking about your travels and living overseas, and you have a concept you call slow travel. Can you explain what slow travel is?
Yeah, I mean, especially maybe because I'm a blogger, we're always seeking to define things in unique ways. And there's a lot of terms out there. There's expat, people that have left their native country. There's backpacker, which is someone who tries to keep their costs very low and they're continually moving from place to place. There's flashpacker, which is a term that means you sort of have an income from somewhere and you have more tech and toys and you stay at maybe nicer hotels. But what I did was always a little bit different, which is I would go and get long-term leases or medium-term leases at apartments. So I would go and get a house or an apartment in a place for anywhere from 1 to 6 months and enjoy what it feels like to actually live somewhere. And that to me is so exciting. You know, although the sights and everything are cool and hanging out with tourists can be fun, I much prefer to go down to the local cafe, open up my laptop, talk to the people that are working there, and really get a sense for what it's like to live in a city. And over the course of my career, what that's looked like is you really develop a deep connection with the places that you live in. You might hire people there. You have really good friends there. One of the downsides of being a tourist is that you never really can develop friendships. And so what I found is that I go back to revisit a lot of the places that I once lived because I have lifelong friendships there. So that, to me, has really been the benefit of slow travel. And I have a theory about friendship. I think, you know, really, you can't go to a place for just 1 month. People won't invest their time in you. So if at least you're going to stay in a place for 3 to 4 months, I think that's sort of the turning point with a lot of people. And they'll say, hey, yeah, you know what? Let's go try to be friends. Let's go out and do something together.
So Dan, you're talking about slow travel, and you're saying that basically you go and just live in a place, and I think a lot of people would be really hesitant to do that. I mean, that sounds exciting, but it's like a really big step. How would you convince somebody to do this type of lifestyle?
Well, the first thing is to get connected on the blogosphere with a lot of other people who are doing it, because I think that once you see other people doing it, the mystery comes away, and you realize, hey, this is something that I could do. This is achievable for me. I call that like a precedent case analysis. If you can see some other guys doing it and you can relate with them, not such a big deal anymore. The next thing is, like, I always try to go somewhere where I have a project. I think that's a great way to really get engaged, because it's so easy just to go to a place, get a short-term apartment, and then go to Starbucks, and then that could just be your life. Whereas, you know, when we came here to Bali, we decided that we're going to set up a house and we're going to invite interns over and we're going to meet entrepreneurs from all around the world. And that's why we're going to Bali, because Bali is a place that everybody wants to go. If you mention Bali to somebody, they're like, I would love to go to Bali someday. And that's great for meeting people. So that's why we came here. my last location in the Philippines, I went there with a project to hire people because I knew it was a great place to hire people. Place before that in Vietnam, I decided that I wanted to do investments in Vietnam. It's a great place to put capital. Of course, that was before the financial crisis, so that didn't work out for so long. But I find that the idea of having a project gets you engaged. For me as a business person, I've never gone somewhere and not hired somebody there. And that act in and of itself helps me to get engaged. Now, if you're not a business person, a lot of people would come to a place like Bali and say, I'm going to learn how to surf, or I'm going to learn how to cook local Indonesian food, or I'm going to learn the language. Those kinds of projects, I think, are really useful for the slow travel concept. And they're a unique opportunity, because if you're a tourist, you don't have time to set up a business or to learn the language. And that's the unique opportunity for the slow traveler.
I'm sold.
Listen again.
So Dan, we're talking about your travels and living overseas, and you have a concept you call slow travel. Can you explain what slow travel is?
Yeah, I mean, especially maybe because I'm a blogger, we're always seeking to define things in unique ways. And there's a lot of terms out there. There's expat, people that have left their native country. There's backpacker, which is someone who tries to keep their costs very low and they're continually moving from place to place. There's flashpacker, which is a term that means you sort of have an income from somewhere and you have more tech and toys and you stay at maybe nicer hotels. But what I did was always a little bit different, which is I would go and get long-term leases or medium-term leases at apartments. So I would go and get a house or an apartment in a place for anywhere from 1 to 6 months and enjoy what it feels like to actually live somewhere. And that to me is so exciting. You know, although the sights and everything are cool and hanging out with tourists can be fun, I much prefer to go down to the local cafe, open up my laptop, talk to the people that are working there, and really get a sense for what it's like to live in a city. And over the course of my career, what that's looked like is you really develop a deep connection with the places that you live in. You might hire people there. You have really good friends there. One of the downsides of being a tourist is that you never really can develop friendships. And so what I found is that I go back to revisit a lot of the places that I once lived because I have lifelong friendships there. So that, to me, has really been the benefit of slow travel. And I have a theory about friendship. I think, you know, really, you can't go to a place for just 1 month. People won't invest their time in you. So if at least you're going to stay in a place for 3 to 4 months, I think that's sort of the turning point with a lot of people. And they'll say, hey, yeah, you know what? Let's go try to be friends. Let's go out and do something together.
So, Dan, you're talking about slow travel, and you're saying that basically you go and just live in a place. And I think a lot of people would be really hesitant to do that. I mean, that sounds exciting, but it's like a really big step. How would you convince somebody to do this type of lifestyle?
Well, the first thing is to get connected on the blogosphere with a lot of other people who are doing it. Because I think that once you see other people doing it, the mystery comes away and you realize, hey, this is something that I could do. This is achievable for me. I call that like a precedent case analysis. If you can see some other guys doing it and you can relate with them, not such a big deal anymore. The next thing is like, I always try to go somewhere where I have a project. I think that's a great way to really get engaged because it's so easy just to go to a place, get a short-term apartment, and then go to Starbucks, and then that could just be your life. Whereas, you know, when we came here to Bali, we decided that we're going to set up a house, and we're going to invite interns over, and we're going to meet entrepreneurs from all around the world, and that's why we're going to Bali, because Bali's a place that everybody wants to go. If you mention Bali to somebody, they're like, I would love to go to Bali someday. And that's great for meeting people, so that's why we came here. My last location in the Philippines, I went there with a project to hire people because I knew it was a great place to hire people. Place before that in Vietnam, I decided that I wanted to do investments in Vietnam. It's a great place to put capital. Of course, that was before the financial crisis, so that didn't work out for so long. But I find that the idea of having a project gets you engaged. For me as a business person, I've never gone somewhere and not hired somebody there. And that act in and of itself helps me to get engaged. Now, if you're not a business person, a lot of people would come to a place like Bali and say, I'm going to learn how to surf, or I'm going to learn how to cook local Indonesian food, or I'm going to learn the language. Those kinds of projects, I think, are really useful for the slow travel concept. And they're a unique opportunity, because if you're a tourist, you don't have time to set up a business or to learn the language. And that's the unique opportunity for the slow traveler.
I'm sold.
This is the end of task 2. Now you have 1 minute to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. This is the end of the listening comprehension test.